It is our desire
and petition and prayer to experience the power of prayer through faith in Jesus' name. That picture there that tells us there is power in prayer reminds us of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they wisely obeyed through the gift and power of prayer amidst great warning and danger of loss of life. Yet they have trusted you as you have granted them the divine peace and the power given only through prayer to stand strong, to stand tall, to stand steadfast and true, while everyone else is bowing to the image. They have trusted you, and you have delivered them from the fiery furnace and glorified your name in their lives. We need, O Lord, that power of prayer to lead us through faith in every conflict of our existence on this earth. Lord, we know that you are able to turn all sorrow into joy, to protect us and our families, your people and the church worldwide, and people of all nations from all violence of sin and from the evil one and those under his control. May the power of salvation that you have granted us continue with our healing from all of the diseases and the suffering of sin from the inside out, and the same in our families. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit, who has given us great gifts of knowledge this morning and great promises of encouragement through song and through your word, continue to teach us and preach unto us this hour, that we may never fear anything on this earth as long as you are our God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let me ask you a question in review. What did you learn from the story of Mordecai and Esther? Let me ask you a question first about Mordecai. What did you learn for you about Mordecai?
Loyalty, steadfast.
Loyalty and steadfast to who?
To God.
Very good. B?
He was a very courageous person.
He was a very courageous person. He was fearless, huh? He was not afraid to really obey in wisdom. I kind of amazed that he was facing the king and death and great enemies, yet he did not bow. He still went about it the way the Holy Spirit guided him. Amazing. All right, B.
He stepped out on faith.
He stepped out on faith in his God, who never fails, in the life of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Eric.
He did have that sense of boldness that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and those men and what they were facing. And he had a sense of boldness that Paul was talking about as well.
Mm-hmm.
To not waver, not even think twice about what's ahead of them and what's in front of them, but to stand with boldness in Christ.
You know, you mentioned the word there that we're going to be speaking about the opposite of it today. What gave Mordecai the boldness and what gave Peter the cowardness? You know, we're going to talk about that today because it all has to do with where our faith truly is. Who else? Anyone else about Mordecai? All right, let's talk about Esther the queen. What did we learn about the life of Esther the queen as a human being? Anyone?
She was a devout Jew.
A devout Jew, right. Val?
I would say that she didn't trust herself, that she trusted the power of prayer, and she trusted the multitude of prayer, and
good.
That the Lord would answer. She didn't have a wavering faith in that. She knew the Lord would answer, but she didn't trust herself.
You know, she didn't, and she was afraid to die if she appeared before the king. And she was just expressing her own self as a human being. But once some little words of wisdom came her way, that knowledge of life gave her boldness. Said, you know, go ahead, Mordecai, tell all the Jews, pray for me. And pray for themselves. And I will also fast and pray for 3 days. And then I will appear before the king. And if I perish, I perish. Boldness. That is believing without seeing.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually seeing the events beforehand being fulfilled and being unafraid. That's amazing. That's amazing. I'm asking myself, do I have that faith today, Esther?
She had humility, prayer, and obedience from childhood, learning at her uncle's knee for her to be able to go through. She took her uncle's word as what God would direct her to do. And so this took from her childhood, learning to be obedient to his word and trusting God in him.
Good, good. Trusting the words of God spoken through his servant. Yes, Eric.
I think it's really quite applicable to all of us in the sense that she was given a challenge that was really difficult, and she wasn't sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it took a lot for her to hear her uncle's words and to chew on them in a healthy way,
mm-hmm.
and also a fearful way.
Mm-hmm.
That there is humanness in there, that she's not some supreme being, that
mm-hmm.
she's just like a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite relatable for me, and to think that what she did after that
mm-hmm.
were steps that enriched her in order to be bold. She
mm-hmm.
wasn't bold to begin with,
mm-hmm.
that she was weak and not sure, but
right.
that she was emboldened by the power of prayer and emboldened by Jesus Christ.
Amen. You know, she has taken the word of God as words of truth. And she remembered how God delivered the people of Israel in the past. And said, let us declare a fast and a prayer for 3 days. Power in prayer, Lord. Power in prayer. This is so true. B.
I said that she was influenced spiritually by Mordecai.
She was influenced spiritually by Mordecai. He is a trustworthy man. All right, Val, the last comment?
She was very selfless. She was willing to give up her own life for the life of many.
Where do we get this boldness from? Are we selfless? Do you know all of our wars, where it's coming from? Selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
What, our local wars that we have going now?
Our wars as human beings.
Oh.
All of our internal and external pains
right.
come from the sense of selfishness.
Our government wars come from greed.
And selfishness.
Yeah.
You know, self-centeredness is self-destruct. It's family destruct, community and country destruct, and world destruct. All of these wars taking place all over the world?
Greed.
Because someone wants to take the power from someone. And then we put the word democracy and hypocrisy and everything else to make it look what? Acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Who's really in charge of all kingdoms? The Bible said that he is the God of all kingdoms. Who put and remove people from power?
God.
It is God. But man decided to play that role.
Right.
And what is the outcome of that? As we see it.
War.
Destruction. Is it bringing democracy?
No.
You know, in all the wars that have been taken lately, especially in the Middle East and Arab country, they were replaced by worse governments. So the devil is working very hard, knowing that he has but a short time. So don't be deceived by what you see and hear. If you have the word of God written in the tablets of your heart, you should understand the events through his eyes. Jesus said, those things will have to happen before the end comes. All of the wars is self-centered. You know, every country can call it a good cause. If we really believe in God, who fought the battles for the people of Israel?
God.
And at that time, they did not lift a weapon. The Lord sent his one angel, lift his sword, and 185,000 people who were aimed to destroy Israel died. Like that. The people did not have to fight. God was trying to give them a heart after his own. He promised to fight their every battle. You know, in the story of Esther, I put some verses there. You should write them down because it should help us when we face a mountain, when we face our fears, and when we face the fears of the world, in which we will. Whether it's physical, whether it is mental, whether it's emotional, whether it is social, trust me, crises are here to stay until Jesus comes. We will be facing them from time to time that will stir up our fear and challenge our faith in God. Esther immediately took the opportunity to fast and to pray. In James 4:17, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. Esther knew that she is what's called to do good. And she could have been afraid enough to say, you know, the king loves me. He chose me above all of these women. Why should I jeopardize my life and all of this possession and go to him? I might get killed. You know, let the Jews defend themselves. And Jesus said, he that save his life shall what? Shall lose it. And he that lose his life for my sake and the sake of the gospel shall find it. So if you know how to do good and you don't do it in all wisdom and truth, it's a sin unto you. Okay, so I learned that from the story of Esther and Mordecai. In Galatians 6:7-10, some very famous words there. He said, God is not mocked. What a man seed, the very same shall a man reap. Mm. What did Haman seed? Hatred. Vengeance. Murder. Jealousy.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he wanted to raise up that gallows to hang Mordecai on it and to destroy the Jews. What happened to him?
He
built it all up for himself and his family. It's very sad. He said,
I don't
quite
understand why they hung his family with him.
That's later on, but that's beyond this sermon. We'll talk about it some other time. Okay? Because the Bible doesn't talk about how wicked their children were. The children and the wife are the ones who encourage Haman to raise the gallows and to destroy the Jews. It was them who encouraged him to do that.
Okay, when you're talking about children and you're talking about adult children.
Adults, they're all adults.
I'm thinking of children.
No, they were all adults. All adults. And in Galatians said, what a man seed, the same shall a man reap. Mm-hmm. He that seed unto the flesh shall reap corruption. And he that seed of the spirit shall reap life and peace. And then he said, while you have opportunity, here it is. While you have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. For in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. You know, how much of these hours of every day do we take the time to try to do good to somebody else who needs it? Mm. How many of the hours of the day we invested in I, me, and myself and everything my emotion desires? How much of the day do we really say, you know, I'm going to take some time to communicate some words of encouragement to somebody, to live beyond yourself? I got an email this past week from a pastor in Egypt who's trying to start a program. You know, he said the verse of that week or the verse of the day. And he sent a verse to me of the day to encourage me. And then he gave a name that I should just click and send a verse to that individual or this family that means something to me. You know, when I got this email, I said, man, I have many things to do. Yeah. I said, you know, I don't know the people. And I began to kind of, for just a few minutes, it's not the way I really minister. And I don't know the people. I don't know what their needs are. And suddenly, I was stopped by the Holy Spirit. Didn't you pray this morning that you want to use every gift God has given you for the blessing of somebody else? Well, I brought it to you. So I bowed my head and I said, Lord, I don't know these individuals at all, and I don't know where they are. I don't know what they're going through. But may you give me a verse that really blessed my life. Hopefully that's what they need today. And I spent only about 5 minutes sharing with this family a verse from the Bible. And I told them why that verse is so powerful to me. It didn't take about 4 or 5 sentences. I don't know the outcome of that. And I wouldn't perhaps know it till later on or till Jesus comes.
Yeah.
How much of all of this cranking and all of these efforts and energy and distress we are spending just to make money. Or perhaps to make someone think of us as something great. Or to get some kudos in return. Esther put her life on the line to save a whole people, not just her family. She was not worried about money. She was not worried about her job as a queen. She was not worried about her position or what the king think of her. Her major concern was to invest her life that was given to her and all the resources and her position to do good unto the household of faith, especially those who are in great distress. And that is very much what Colossians also encourages us to do. That if we have opportunity to do good, do it with all your heart. Do it unto the Lord, not to man. For it is of the Lord ye shall obtain the reward and the inheritance. What a gift that is. That actually fulfills the second part of the law. To love your neighbor as yourself. You may be saving your own self from great distress unknown. By stepping out in faith. As Esther did. She didn't know that she is saving her own life as well. But trying to invest time in saving the people of Israel. So trust me, when God said that with every trouble, with every temptation, with every tribulation, He show us the way to escape, He does. Only if we choose to take it. You know, only if we choose to take it. And of course, as Eric said this morning, which is so true, Jesus began the Beatitude by saying what? Blessed are the poor in spirit. For there's what? The kingdom of God. So the first step in really being able to be bold and courageous to do it is to recognize how poor, impoverished, and weak we are. Because there is no one that is good but God. That's what Jesus said.
That's right, that's right.
You know? So when I feel poor and impoverished and needy, I have to call upon the Lord to give me everything that I don't have, especially righteousness. Right? So it is natural for us to feel distress, to feel I don't have the time to, I don't have the resources to, I don't have all of this. But you know, we got to express all of these follies and failures and need to Jesus. Because He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, when I am weak, then I am strong, because I can do all things through Christ Jesus which strengthened me. We can only increase our faith by an experience with God, right? And that's what Esther did. And that's how we learned from Esther and Mordecai how to conquer the most dangerous odds of life. Through earnest prayer and trust and wise obedience to God. Today, we're going to take a different turn to see what happened to some very dedicated Christians when they lose faith in God and they began to believe in themselves. What do you think happens? What do you think happens when you lose faith in Jesus and you begin to believe in yourself?
You sin.
You sin. And you risk your own life. And so we're going to be examining a story of a man very familiar to all of us. So let us open together the book of Matthew chapter 26. And let us read those verses together. Doubts and fear of loss, fear of injury, fear of rejection, and fear of death often leads to doubt and loss of faith in Jesus. A self-centered life. When we want to live so much. When we are never happy, when we want everything that we not get, we reach a very dangerous state that leads us to lack of faith in Jesus automatically. Automatically. So let us see the story, and I'm going to highlight some very important things about life as the Holy Spirit give us utterance. So let us look at Matthew chapter 26, and let us read from verse 57. This is now the trial. The trial and the persecution and eventually the crucifixion of Jesus. You know, in the time and the moment when Jesus needed his best friends to be close by him. They fled away. And I will explain that in a spiritual social term in a second. So let us read the story, verse 57. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. And Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servant to see the end. You know, it was still a blessing to see Peter desirous to follow Jesus where he goes. That tells us something about Peter, that his heart still has something very good in it. Remember, he just told Jesus what?
To die with him.
He said, if all the world denied you, I won't. And if I had to die for you, I will.
Uh-huh.
You know, it is kind of a disconnection between the heart and the brain. That was the brain talking. You know, because in his brain, he's seen Jesus making so many miracles. So he believed with his mind that there is no way Jesus will ever be crucified. Jesus will ever be persecuted. And he never believed that Jesus would ever die, even though Jesus told him that. That the Son of Man will die and be buried and will rise up on the third day. And what did Peter say? He said, Lord, do not say that. And what did Jesus tell Peter?
Get behind me, Satan.
Get behind me, Satan. You know the Bible very well. Jesus called Peter what?
Satan.
Because Peter knew the Lord with his mind, but he was yet to know the Lord with his heart. And many Christians are struggling in that state all the way till this time. Till real problems come to expose that to them. You see, when we are so blessed, when we are given everything, we're all going our way, we believe in God with our mind. But faith with all of our heart come during time of trial and a time of test. Do you really believe that Jesus is all in all? That is how the trials come to make our faith stronger, not weaker. So Peter here followed, still believing with his mind. Yeah, they arrested him. Yeah, they're going to try him. I just cannot wait to see how Jesus is going to get himself out of this as the Messiah and the Son of God. So he was there with his mind, but he was not there with his heart. How many people go to churches every week and participate in programs using their mind, but they are not there with their heart? You know what Jesus told his church about the Pharisees and about the Sadducees and about the high priest and about those who go to the synagogue every Sabbath? He said, these people worship me with their mouth and honor me with their tongue, yet their heart is far away from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. How is your heart this morning? How is my heart this morning? Remember, all of the feelings come from where?
The heart.
You feel sad, where it's coming from?
The heart.
You feel joyous, where it's coming from?
The heart.
You feel lonely, where it's coming from?
The heart.
You feel loved, where it's coming from?
The heart.
You feel unloved, where it's coming from?
The heart.
You feel pain, where it's coming from?
The heart.
And Jesus said, out of the hearts are the issues of life. Out of a good heart come forth good things. And out of a wicked heart come forth wicked things. So here it is. We're going to be studying about Peter now. That Peter walked with Jesus. He dropped his net. He had that aptitude and desirous attitude to be something important in the kingdom. And he followed Jesus and he was blessed. And he had experienced miracles in his own household because of his faith in Jesus. And his mother-in-law was healed. And he was with Jesus when he witnessed great many miracles. The blind see, the lame walk again, even the dead risen. So with his mind, he believed that Jesus is the resurrection and life, and there is no way he can ever die. But when the circumstances of life changed, and Peter, with his own mind, began to see things differently, suddenly his heart was exposed. Remember in the garden when they arrested Jesus? He thought he will win a kudu. He got his dagger out and he went to chop the ear off of that servant. He just tried to prove to Jesus, I told you that I will protect you. You know, Peter knew very well that Jesus is able to heal that ear again. Mm-hmm. And Jesus did. But he told him, Peter, in your mind you got it wrong. If you take by the sword, by the sin you will be taken. Mm-hmm. That is not the kingdom I'm to establish. Mm-mm. Something about your heart. And then immediately after that, Jesus told Simon Peter, so you can understand the events better. He said, right before this trial, he said, Simon, Satan desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But fear thou not. Talking about fear and faith here. He said, but fear thou not, for I have prayed for you. And once thou art converted, go and strengthen the brother. So Jesus made the prophecy clear. He told Peter that you will deny me three times. But then he told him, Satan really desired to take you to destroy you, like he did to Judas. But I want you to know that, Peter, I have prayed for you that when this trial comes, remember, I have prayed for you that your faith in me may never fail. And once your heart is changed, you will be able to go and strengthen the brethren. Do we go through that? Have we gone through that? Do we hear the same voice of Jesus for us today? So let us see the events and how it unfolded with Peter. He followed from a distance. And listen, he did not sit with the high priest. He did not sit with the guys who are high. He sat down with the servants. So no one would figure out who he was.
Right. Camouflage.
You know, remember the Pharisees came and the scribes talked to Jesus all the time. And the Bible said when he was with his disciple, very much they knew who Peter was. But in the midst of all of these crowds and the multitudes and the trials, he decided to step back and hide a little bit. Mm-hmm. So he sat with the servant to see how Jesus is going to pull something mighty strong on these guys. And then it says here, now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. Mm-hmm. And who is the accuser of the brethren? Satan is. You know, Satan throughout the life tried to find faults in all of God's people. Aren't we all full of faults anyway?
Yes.
Isn't that true? All full of faults. We are not sinless. And Satan will try to use our weaknesses against us. But where do we hide? In the cliff of the rock, under the banner of the cross of Calvary, saved by the blood of the Lamb. When we are humbled and broken in the spirit, and when we talk to Jesus about it every day, the devil cannot use our sins against us. That's another reason to have faith in God. So they began to bear false witnesses and found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses. And said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answer thou nothing. What is it which these witnesses against thee? You know, Jesus made this statement to mean something completely different. Mm-hmm. They twisted that. Mm-hmm. And Jesus knew very well what they are doing. And he did not even respond to it. Was he afraid?
Well, he was.
Jesus was fearless. He came to accomplish the plan of redemption, and he will not allow anything to destroy it. And remember, he came first to his own, the Jewish people. So he tried not to say anything that may stumble Caiaphas or anybody else. Let the Holy Spirit convict them of what is truth and what is an error. So he did not answer. But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. You know, they were not searching about truth, whether he was or was not. They were convicted of that. They were trying to find faults about who he is in truth. You know, like many people today who use the Bible, especially atheists or those who do not want to believe, they just pick a verse or two from the Bible and throw it. Didn't what the Bible said? So they can convict themselves and others not to believe in God. And I have been there and I've heard several people coming to me with this. Why did the Bible say that? And I asked the question, are you asking because you are seeking after salvation? Or you're asking to confuse yourself and to believe something that caused faith in God to be nothing? I asked them straight. And you know, I find two answers. Very few times when I hear someone humble said, in truth, I'm really struggling with faith. And you're right, I just picked up those verses to see if I can convince myself to lose faith in God. Few people say that and honest. Then I'm able, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to understand why they're hurting, why they feel conflicted. And then slowly, by the power of the Spirit, draw them closer to the cords of God's love. But many others become more argumentative. No, you are answering that because you don't want to answer my question because you know I am true. I said, if you are true and you believe you are true, there is no one who can change your mind. Arguing with me is not going to change anything. If you want to believe, there is no God. And if you want to live and solve your problem, your family's problems, the world problems with your own mind, that's your choice. You see, problems and evil are here to stay until the end of the world. Lack of faith in God will help you overcome evil. That is your power. I don't believe that that's true. There is not one evidence on this earth, even among the atheists, to tell me that human beings have really the power to overcome evil on their own. Evil consumes everybody. Faith in God bring about new miracles of life that no other can bring. And so they said, are you the Son of God? Jesus said unto him, thou hast said it. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of glory. Jesus gave them a much bigger answer than they ever expected. He said, am I the Son of God? Actually, it is the Holy Spirit that convicted you of that. He said, you said it. It is the Holy Spirit that convicted you of that. But I'm going to tell you something else. The time is going to come when you're going to see the Son of God seated at the right hand of the Father and then coming in the clouds of glory. He is showing them prophecy fulfilled. Will they accept the truth? Obviously not. Now, who's listening to all of this?
Peter.
So Jesus was not just talking to the high priest. He was not just talking to the Pharisees and to the leaders of the church. He was talking to all of the multitudes. And he was talking to Peter to strengthen his faith. Mm-hmm. Isn't that an amazing God? Every event that takes place in our families, in our lives, in the lives of our friends, in the lives of our employer, employee, wherever we are, it has a lot to do about our salvation and the salvation of others. All things work together for good if we have faith in God. So Jesus was addressing everybody in the crowds. When there's someone who is really sick in the family and struggling physically, it is not just about the individual. It's about everyone in the family. This is going to be a journey of exposition. Everyone will be exposed of what their faith is made of. And it is normal and natural. You know, I've been with many families, including my own, up to now, when only my sister takes care of my mom. And you know, every time I speak with her, she is really crying out loud and complaining. Can you believe this? I need. I'm thinking about 7-8 medication, and I'm taking care of your mom as well. Do you know they hardly come to help? They just don't come. Your sister was here a month ago. They come for 2 hours and leave. And I am the oldest taking care of your mom. You know, I feel bad. I pray for her. I try to encourage her, but I understand her cry. Physical, mental, spiritual struggles in our family is not just about the individual. It's about exposing all of our weaknesses and our need for the presence of God. Why? Who knows? Maybe our turn is coming. And God is showing us the way of escape. Because when you do good, and when you live a selfless life, God is saving you great pain and heartaches in the weeks, months, and years to come. And that is the truth. Everyone is struggling, isn't it? So what do we make out of our struggle is really the outcome of our lives. And so here, Jesus is speaking to everybody. And verse 65, then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now we have heard his blasphemy. You know, hard-heartedness. And many family members sometimes complain. You know, why me? Why should I be doing this and this and that? I have a life and I want to live. You don't know that God is saving you from the life you want to live? Did you hear that? The Lord is offering you a way to bless your life, to save you from the life you insist to live. And then we end up later complaining, why God allowed this? Well, God has been trying to talk you out of it all of this time and to give you something better all the time. But your self-centered life caused you the destruction you're in. And that reminds me of a story Nelson Mandela said in one of his famous speeches. He talked about a young boy who always liked to climb the tree and hang from the twig. And many a times the parents told him, don't do that. We will not always be there to get you down. Mm-hmm. We're afraid we might be tempted to get up there and then you will never be able to come down. Mm-hmm. And the child looked and the parents were not home. He decided to do the joy of his life. He said, I felt strong and powerful when I go climb the tree and hang from the twig. And so he did. And this time, he hung from the twig and couldn't come back down. And he began to scream, help, 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 help. The villagers came running and knew this guy is far up. You know, and no one can get up there to get him. And so they decided to come together and bring several blankets. And to hold the blanket from the side. And they looked up and they told the young man, let go of the twig.
Jump,
let go of the twig. And he looked down and said, is there anybody else there? He did not want to let go of the twig. And this is really the problem in our spiritual understanding and walk with Jesus. We need to learn to trust the Lord with all of our heart and mind and soul and lean not on all our understanding. The Bible tells us how we can live our lives. Struggling, it is better to say, I'm afraid, than to say, is there another answer than the Word of God? Did you hear that? It is better to say, I'm really struggling with the words of truth because it is true. And as Paul said, to will is present with me. To do, I find not. Who will rescue me from the body of this death? Praise be to God for the Lord Jesus Christ who gave us the victory. So rather than saying the word of God is not true, and rather than saying that Jesus committed error by speaking the words of truth like this high priest did, let us address our fears and our sicknesses and our sins and our struggles truthfully. Let us say with the Apostle Paul, let God be true and all men be liars. And that is the case here. So, the high priest saying he committed blasphemy. Verse 66, what think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face. How cruel that is. And buffeted him, and others smote him with the palm of their hands.
Ooh.
How humiliating that is.
Wow.
What did he do?
Nothing.
Love them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can you respond to love in that way?
Wow.
Saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? You know, I often, when I read this, there's no question I understand that the devil had a strong control over the heart and mind and body and soul. But I often ask myself, how many of these will be in heaven because of the prayer and the sacrifice of Jesus for them? And how will they feel when they see Jesus again? How did their life change after the Holy Spirit took hold of them? It's amazing. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. I don't know what you're talking about. Listen, with his mind, he believed that Jesus is going to pull something strong on them. Right?
Right.
And here he sees Jesus being spat upon, hit, beaten, mocked, and he is bound. He's not releasing himself. He began to doubt, really, was he really the Son of God, or was he a magician? If he really believed that Jesus was the Son of God, he would have remembered everything, and everything Jesus said it will happen, and he would have stood firm and said, of course, I am a disciple of the Galilee. Imagine if we would have heard a complete different story, like that of Esther and Mordecai and Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. But fear of injury, fear to be insulted like his master right before his eyes, fear of possible death caused him loss of faith in Jesus. Is that happening to us? Things are not going our way the way we want them to, and we want it now, and we want to see a miracle immediately. Things are just happening too long. I feel too much pain. I really want it now. And when it doesn't happen, you begin to believe in your own ways, in your own self. Maybe someone else is going to supply that to me, and you lose faith in Jesus. That's a choice. That's a choice, isn't it? You can really turn it to the Lord like Esther did and wait patiently upon the Lord who made his promise clear, or you can go about it your own way. There is a way that appear right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Destruction, said Solomon, who has taken that road. So Peter denied him the first time, nice and easy, I don't know what you're talking about. And when he was gone out now into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Another opportunity for him to become a witness. And again he denied with an oath, he swore, I do not know the man. What happened? Where's the heart of Peter? Same heart. And now his mind is doubting what he once believed. Did you see that? His faith was not with the heart. It was with the mind. And when the mind could not calculate right, and when things are not happening the thought the mind said they should, he immediately didn't just lose faith in Jesus. He denied him flat. And he used the name of God in vain. He swore. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said, Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betray thee. He said, you are Galilean, and your language is just like him. Another opportunity to redeem his soul and to ask for help and to be a witness. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. and immediately the truth. Remember, who gave Esther the voice of warning? Mordecai. The Holy Spirit moved upon Mordecai and said, do you think your own life will be spared when the destruction come upon all the Jews? You don't know what you are thinking. You're wrong. He said, the Lord is going to raise another, but your own life and your family will not be spared. And maybe for such a time you were called. And the Esther came to tell Peter exactly the same message. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus. Esther remembered the words of God through Mordecai. Peter remembered the words of Jesus which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Thank God for that. Thank the Lord for the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus loved Peter. Jesus loves all of us. Jesus has a purpose for you and me, for all of the children of mankind, as he had a purpose for Peter. Jesus knew that Peter is weak. He knew that Peter had a low self-esteem. He knew that Peter was uneducated. He knew that Peter was thriving to be significant, important. He knew that Peter really wanted the approval of others. He wanted the love and affection of others, and he wanted others to look up to him. He knew all of the weaknesses of Peter when he called him to drop his net and follow him. And yet he loved Peter with an everlasting love to tell Peter that, you know, Satan desired to have you. I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And once thou art converted, go and strengthen the brother. It is the Holy Spirit that convicted Peter and that convict us when we sin against the Lord. And when the circumstances of life and when our needs drew and manufactured lead us into sin. And when we do things out of impulse and compulsiveness that is not good for us, it's not good for our family, it's not good for others, the Holy Spirit of Christ come and thrive with us to convict us of sin, of rights, and of judgment, and to call us to come to the throne of God boldly, as Eric said today. Boldly, where we can receive help and mercy in time of need. How do we respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Do we get angry? Do we get bitter? Do we lose faith in Jesus? Do we continue to go our way? Or do we say, Lord, here I am, save me. Peter wept bitterly. You know, after this incident, I'm very sure that the eyes of Jesus locked with the eyes of Peter.
Oh, how
terrible. I am very sure that Peter at this time have received the insightful knowledge of God's love that Jesus was the Son of God, because he told him what is going to happen before it happens.
Exactly.
That increased his faith. And unlike Judas, who also wept bitterly and hung himself. And that is the discourse many people take when they are convicted of the sins. They can't take it anymore. They allow Satan to have them and finish them.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be this way. The thief on the cross, on the right hand of Jesus, told us the story. With all of the crimes he had committed, with all of the suffering he had inflicted on others and upon his own family, he still heard the voice of Jesus along with the other thief. One denied it. One mocked Jesus. The other accepted with all humility and asked the Lord to forgive him and to consider him worthy to be with him in paradise. He had received the gift of salvation. His life ended on earth, but a new life will begin in heaven. It's very important to know this, that all of us are going to go through some very difficult, scary experiences. In our own individual life, in the workplaces we go through, in our schools, in our relationships, with our friends or with our spouses, with our children, or in our homes, in our neighborhoods, it is inevitable you will go through some scary circumstances. Some of them are more distressing than others. At that very time, you would be given the opportunity to believe or not to believe. To believe in the power of prayer and to exercise it like Mordecai, like Esther, and later Peter. Or to try to find the answer in yourself and in somebody else. I'm going to tell you, my friends, if you do not go to Jesus first, the more it lingers with you and the more you try to find answers everywhere else, the worse it gets. Like Peter. It progressed. But I thank God that he remembered the words of Jesus, and he was still a weak man. He was still praying with all of the people who were hiding in the upper room until Mary Magdalene came with the good news that Jesus is risen. You know, if his faith was 50% then, after she came and said Jesus is risen, his faith shut up 100%, because now every word of Jesus became very real and true. It is during our own trials that we should discover the words of Jesus anew as the power that saves us, the power that delivers us, the power that works for the sons of man, signs and wonders, power of redemption, power of restoration, power that bring about brand and new showers of blessings we never had before that come through faith and trust in him. Thank God that Peter was one of the people who went to see the empty tomb. Peter was the last to be given an admonition of Jesus. You know, I can't imagine that encounter when he saw Jesus. How joyous he was. The transformation of his heart was amazing at the time. And Jesus looked at Peter. Perhaps he held him and looked him in the eyes and see and said, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" It is no surprise that Jesus asked Peter that question after his resurrection. Jesus knew that Peter loved him. But he is giving Peter the assurance of the question, "Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was so humble and yet doubting in himself. He was doubting in himself. And he said, "Lord, you know," Jesus told him, "feed my sheep. Love them and care for them as I loved and cared for you." And again, second time, Jesus asked Peter, "Simon, do you love me?" Peter became troubled and fearful this time. And he said, "Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep." And the third time, Jesus had spoken to Simon Peter. Peter was so humble and broken, perhaps tears came down his eyes, because that was the third time, and he denied Jesus three times, and never did he want to do that again. You know, the most glorious story of Peter begins in the ending thereof. Did he learn the power of prayer?
Yes, he did.
For 50 days, confessing and praying. Not 3 days. See, they move now. For 50 days, praying and fasting with all of the 120 in the upper room. And we see the uneducated, illiterate, coward disciple become the most courageous disciple.
Yes.
And become endowed with great many gifts of knowledge and understanding, because at that time his heart knew no more fear. And he was preaching to not just a high priest.
Wow.
All the high priests and the Pharisees and everyone and great multitudes from every nation were standing there.
Wow.
And he told them that Jesus, whom you have crucified and God raised him up, indeed is the Messiah and the Savior of the world. Boldness. No more fear. Why? Because his faith was settled on nothing less but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Where is your faith, eh? I hope that you are ready for whatever may come. Jesus of yesterday, with Mordecai and Esther and Daniel and Peter and Paul, is also today and forever shall be the same. It is us who need to be connected with him. In Luke 22, 31 and 32 is the prayer that Jesus had prayed for Simon Peter. You know, we are not going to always be victorious. We will go through ups and downs as long as our need fluctuates and our strength and weakness fluctuates. It is very important to recognize this. Whether you're weak or whether you're strong, whom are you connecting to? Are you connecting to the enemy and all of his own workers of iniquity to satisfy your needs? Or are we connecting to the Lord Jesus and his word of truth the way it is? Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall bear much fruits, and whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, it shall be given unto you. If you disconnect from the vine and from the branch, no nourishment is going in. And eventually, you can find that love and that attention, acceptance everywhere else. Jesus said, you will dry up. It's true. It will not satisfy anymore. I have heard one testimony after another of a great many actors and actresses and people who are rich and powerful in the world who made it all the way to the top and couldn't sleep without drugs. Millions of people went to watch their concerts, and many of people told them how much they love them and spend their money on them. You think they have all the love to keep them alive. They were drying up because they're getting the love from the wrong well. Wrong well. There is only one living well, the Lord Jesus Christ. In conclusion for today, next week, the next slide is showing three ways to increase your faith today before any crisis comes. Three ways that are 100% proof that as they work for Esther and Mordecai, and for Peter later, and all of God's people, should be able to work in us great mighty signs and wonders and power, if we choose to. That is next week. For now, this is the promise of God. In 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. That is worldly fear. Okay? But of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. If that is what you desire, the power of God's love and the mind of Jesus and the absence of fear in time of crisis, you've got to place your faith and my faith through all the circumstances in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The God of righteousness, who is the Savior of the world, the Prince of Peace, the Physician and Healer, the Bread and the Water of Life. He sustains, He protects, He sees us going through battle, yet He fights our every battle. And if we trust Him over all and make Him Lord over all, we will end up rejoicing at the end of every conflict. This is my earnest prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we rise together? Lord, we thank you for Mordecai. We thank you for Esther. We thank you for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We thank you for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We thank you for Peter and Paul. We thank you for the little child who have shared his meager food with you and with those who are hungry. We thank you for all of these witnesses in the Bible who were just struggling sinner as we are, yet through faith and trust in you showed us what you are able to do in a mighty way in our lives as we fully trust you over all. Lord, we are weak. Lord, we are in need. Lord, sometimes our hearts are crying out for love and affection, acceptance and approval from all of the wrong sources. Forgive us where we have gone astray. Never leave us nor forsake us. We truly want you alone to complete the work of love in righteousness that you have begun in all of us, our families, your church worldwide, and all nations. Secure our salvation. Fight our every battle. Deliver us from every evil. and as you have supplied our every need, give us opportunity daily to share every gift and blessing in the life of somebody else, for we know this is the only way a gift and a talent can grow. In Jesus' name, amen.